One, two, cool. Good morning. For those who don't know me, my name's Hyge. I'm just going to share a devotional for today. Let's turn our Bibles first to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verses 11 and 12. Philippians 4, 11 and 12. I'll read from the version I have, which is NIV. It says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for allowing us to come and for waking us up to spend these first few precious moments just in your word, in your presence, in prayer. I thank you that you allow us to join here in community and to really just draw close to you during this time. I pray that you'll use my lips and the thoughts and your word to speak life into my brothers and sisters here in this place. Just help me, Lord Father, to deliver the word you want to give today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I was just trying to figure out and praying about what to share when Pastor Nate asked me to help out with sort of the MP devotional. And this piece of scripture sort of came to mind. And I think it's coming from a fact of this season, since pretty much last year, where we had our child. And obviously, many of you know, I'm looking for employment. And I think God was really trying to challenge me in many ways, saying, are you content? No. You've had work, you've had different things in your life. Now you're going through a different season, but are you truly content? So, this I say, the scripture came to mind. I did the usual things I do when I want to share, as I very quickly just looked up the dictionary description of content and contentment. And so a couple of descriptions I had, which are sort of quite nice and summarize it in a nice way, was content is to be satisfied with what one is or what one has, and to not want more or anything else. And contentment was a happiness with one's situation in life, or a state of mind in which one's desires are confined to our lot, whatever they may be. So just based on those, again, the same questions were sort of arising. Am I satisfied with what I have right now, with who I am? And truly saying, not wanting or desiring anything else. Another thing I did quickly, because I was curious to see, you always get surveys in the internet and surveys and polls of people to see how happy they are, how content they are. I try to sort of do a Google search on, like, I think I typed in Christian contentment survey. So I just want to see Christians in particular, but I couldn't really find anything. But there was a survey I found, going back to my British roots, by the BBC. It was a survey done a few years ago, so I think it was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and they polled a bunch of Britons who, we know aren't generally happy anyway, but they still polled them to see, in a nutshell, are they happy? And the results were that since the 50s, despite the average Briton becoming 3 times wealthier in net money terms, actually the percentage of people saying that they were very happy dropped from 52% in 1957 to just 36% in 2007-2008. And so, just from that, the conclusion from the person who ran the survey was, money and wealth doesn't necessarily equate happiness. In the modern world where we have technology, where we have convenience, where we have all these things which, I mean, for those of us who are pre-sort of mobile phone age, remember, sending, like waiting for the phone by our house and using snail mail and all that sort of stuff. And yet, in the 50s, which was obviously even technologically less advanced than when we were around, half the people said they were very happy, whereas only a third in the modern age say that. There's another survey that I was able to find, and this looked at 2,500 working-age people. I think it's a poll in America, and it basically asked them a very simple question, said, okay, in terms of your lifestyle, what sum of money do you think would make you happy? And far going sort of, oh yeah, just give me $50 billion, trillion dollars. You know, what reasonable sum of money would make you happy in terms of the food you could eat, the car you could drive, the holidays you could go on, the house you could live in? And for this sort of poll of across sort of working age people group, they said the sum was around $3 million US. And that was sort of their ballpark. It came to that sort of number. The funny thing was, when as they were polling this group, they actually looked at their sort of average, I guess, salary and the disposable income and whatnot, and they found out for them to save up that $3 million US to so-called buy them happiness, it actually take that average person 94 years to achieve that. So again, these people had a sum of money in mind, but for the majority of them, it was something that they would never achieve in their entire sort of lifespan. So we come back to Paul and what he says in Philippians, especially sort of the latter part of 11, you know, where verse 11, which says, "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." I'm sure just looking at these surveys, I'm sure looking at our lives in certain parts, and I was reading this, wouldn't it be nice to know what this secret was? I mean, Paul, we know his story. He was a very zealous Jew. He lived, I'm sure, a very privileged lifestyle, lived up till the days of Damascus. And then post-meeting Jesus, we've read the stories, heavily persecuted, almost died many times, beaten, put in prison. And yet he gets to this stage where he's writing to the church of Philippi, and I think this is when he's in prison, and he says, you know, "I've learnt the secret of being content, whatever the circumstances, whether I'm fed, whether I'm hungry, whether I want, whether I need." And so I just thought, okay, Paul, so you've learnt this secret, you know, but he doesn't actually really say, he doesn't say, like, okay, this is the 1 to 5 steps of my secret. But I think Paul was very bright, as we know, in his writings. I think in his scriptures, he alludes to areas of his life, areas of our lives, which sort of are wrapped up in this secret. Just taking aside, being content in what Paul is writing, I mean, the way I interpret it is very much on the circumstances. He actually says it, you know, "I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances." I feel we don't want to go down the road where contentment equates with apathy. So it's like, you know, I'm being downtrodden and there's injustice in the world, but I'm content with that. I don't think that's what Paul's trying to say. I think there's certain areas that God calls us to not to be content with. You know, a couple of those areas in particular, we know in the earlier passage in Philippians 3, just the pursuit of Christ. You know, Jesus calls us not to be content with the pursuit of Christ. He says, "I want to know Christ," you know, to know the power of his resurrection. He goes on to say, "Not that I've already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ just took hold of me." So that's an area where he specifically says, don't be content with that. Don't be content with, oh, you know, me and Jesus, we're going through a bit of a funk right now, but I'm content, you know, that's a godly thing. There are certain areas for sure that Paul and other writers of the scriptures say, don't be content with. And just another one to point out with, I would say, is laziness. Especially with what God has given us and the talents that he's given us. You know, we all know the parables of the talents in Matthew 25, where God has given each and every one of us certain gifts and callings, and he calls us to be diligent with those, not just say, okay, I've received this gift and talent, I'm just going to be content and not use it to further your kingdom or to bless, but, you know, to actually, again, proactively be sort of acting in discontent in those areas and really look to seek him actively. But as I mentioned, I think Paul really is talking about the areas of our lives and our circumstances, and in especially monetary prosperity. You know, he talks about going hungry, he talks about being well-fed, so I think it's in those areas of our lives. I know he obviously places contentment to be quite a high virtue. It sort of ties in quite nicely. I know for those of you who were here last Tuesday and Pastor Eugene talked about complaining, this is sort of, I guess, the other side of the same coin, and we're going through a series on humility right now. But in 1 Timothy 6:6, Paul writes, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." And he goes on to say, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And then he goes on to sort of wrap up saying, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and the trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And again, just as I was meditating on this word, I was thinking, wow, have I come to a stage where I could say, if I have food in my stomach and I have the clothes on my back, I'll be content. And just reflecting on that again, and I love Piyush, Pisam, you know, their fathers, so they can illustrate on their interactions with their kids. And now finally, I can sort of draw upon that with Joshua being a year old. We've got a couple of parents in the room. But it's like with Joshua and food. Like, you know, when he's a baby, you feed him milk, and he's just like, okay, that's all he knows. So he'll just chomp on the milk, and he'll be very content. And eventually, a few months ago, we move him on to solids, and we want to be healthy, so it's like, you know, no salt, no flavorings, it's quite bland, you know, it's basically congee. And again, he's very content. He's just like, he doesn't know any better, right? So he's like, oh, great, it fills my stomach, you know, it gives me energy, and I'm happy. And so we've seen the progression of him. Like now it's veggies, like sort of solid veggies, and there's a bit more flavor. So he's realizing, oh, this is interesting. This is different from congee. So now when we try and feed him congee, it's sort of like he's already realized the difference. And he's like, well, actually, I don't want congee anymore. I just want the veggies because it's flavor. It's got crunchiness and you know, it tastes different. And it's progressed on to now fruit. So now we realize the difference between veggies and fruit. It's like, okay, fruit tastes sweet, whereas veggies don't. So, you know, before he'd be so happy just munching on chunks of broccoli, but now it's like, no, I want my apple. So, I mean, just over the last 4 months, we're like, wow, even in what he's been content with as a little baby, I mean, no one's taught him that, but just his natural desires realize, wow, actually, what satisfied me before, what actually sustained my life, I'm sort of now, I don't want that, I want something else, I want sort of the better version, and I want better food. Now we like, we just have to use so many devious ways to feed him, like have a bit of broccoli, a slice of apple on top, and we sort of just feed him both at once. So he tastes the apple and he's like, oh, it's apple, but it's actually broccoli underneath. But that's sort of something we've tried to learn to do. But I realized that was the same with myself, and I'm sure many of us can relate. I mean, I remember when, you know, all of us, we go through our time of fasting at the beginning of the year, and come week one, you know, we're all in that zone and we're like, okay, I'm fasting, liquids is great. Come week two, most of our thinking is about what we're going to eat at the end of week three, and like we start compiling our list of foods, and come week three, we're like, God, I just, even a piece of bread is going to be great, you know. It doesn't have to be like go and have a nice meal at a restaurant, just some bread, you know, some chocolate or whatever it may be that really keeps you going. And then we find, I found that this list of restaurants that I have, like, I say, dwindles to nothing at the end of the fast, and then again my appetite increases, and I realize actually I'm not content with this food anymore. I actually want a better meal, and etc. etc. So contentment is tough, you know, for us who are living this life, and God's given us so many things, and yet just in our, I mean, you could just place it as sinful desires, our desires for worldly things. It's so tough to be content, whatever the circumstance. I would say, in line with humility, as you draw closer to God, and it's, in this season it's been particularly close to my heart and our family's heart, as we really draw close to God and to trust him in humility, contentment has sort of naturally seeped in. Like, okay, we're content now. And this is circumstantial for sure. Like, we're content now in certain parts of our life, you know, being sort of trimmed down or cut out, and we've adapted and we've grown in that area. But I would say also that there's always the harm and the trap that once work happens again and a lifestyle kicks in again, that the things that we were content with before aren't going to be the case back then. So what I did want to say is going back to this secret. So Paul says there's a secret. He has learnt the secret of being content. And I think Paul's very clever in his writings. And so I just wanted to give my two cents of what I thought parts of this aspects of his secret are. And I think it's very sort of summarized and wrapped up in 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 and 18. I'll just read it from the NIV version. He talks about three things. He says, you know, rejoice always, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so I think those three things are sort of the bedrock of his secret at being content in whatever circumstance he's in. And actually just looking through Philippians 4, he actually draws on those three themes. And, you know, Paul's a very clever writer. In Philippians 4:4, sort of preceding this sort of discourse on contentment, he talks about rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice in the Lord is near. And then in verse 13, he talks about, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And in Philippians 4:6, he talks about, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So again, it almost ties in with those three themes. So you know, the theme on rejoicing. Now, he tells us to rejoice, and he says, why? Because God is near. You know, whatever circumstance you're in, whatever you're going through, just be joyful in the fact to know that God is close by. You know, the writer of Hebrews says, keep your lives free from the love of money, be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You know, and that's the joy that Paul is drawn from. Whether he's been at a church plant and he's seeing people like Lydia and you know, those guys grow into a house church, or whether he's in jail, the fact that he knows that God is near, it wells up joy in his heart. And that then, you know, produces a seed of contentment. I'll say the opposite of rejoicing was what Piyuj shared about last week in terms of complaining. You know, we're so easy to complain about many aspects of our lives and to compare and you know, look at other people with envy sometimes. But again, I was recognizing that complaining and grumbling, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 10, if you go to that later on, he talks a whole discourse about things that we shouldn't do and certain sins of our lives that we should be aware of. And, you know, he obviously talks about the obvious things like sexual immorality, he talks about idolatry, but in there's a discourse about grumbling, about complaining. So it's like, wow. In Pauline sort of theology, he places grumbling as much as a sin to God as idolatry, as much as a sin to God, the sexual immorality. And I just feel it all ties into this fact in contentment. He's saying, hey, don't complain, don't grumble. Be joyful. You know, whatever circumstance you're in, be joyful. And be joyful because you know God is there. The second thing I'd like to say is, pray continually. I'm taking it from 1 Thessalonians. You know, abide in God. He says in as I say, the verse straight after this discourse, I can't do this. I can't muster up this strength and this secret to be content. But I can do all things through God who gives me strength. So I think that's his second sort of secret tip. It's like, you know, pray and abide in God. It's only through a living relationship with Christ. It's only through a daily sort of communion with our loving Father and the strength and presence that he provides that we can be content in what you're going through. It can't be something that you can muster up yourself and say, okay, I'm going through hardship, but I'm going to be content no matter what. Because, you know, I think you can sort of, you'll see in your hearts that you're really just fooling yourselves. And the third thing, which is sort of tied into all three, is to be thankful. To be thankful. And he says, he believes that's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. In whatever circumstance we're in, just to be thankful. Again, just to revisit the word in Philippians 4:6, which I think many of us have memorized and know, you know, not to be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I really feel the focus is there, that as we pray and we petition for things, you know, it's with that thanksgiving heart that we present these things to God, and then the peace of God that's past understanding will cover our hearts and our minds. So, yeah, I just want us to really reflect this morning. I say, I don't know what we're going through in our lives personally. I don't know where or what areas God's touching us or moving, or you know, areas that we're contending for, we're waiting for. But I just really want to encourage you just to really, as I say, in these three areas of rejoicing, of praying, abiding in God, and trying to be thankful in all circumstances. Just strive to the state where you can say, like Paul, I'm content in whatever circumstance I'm in, you know. I may be in an elevated position now, but I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years' time. I may be in a humble position now. Again, I don't know where God's going to place me in 5 years' time. But when it comes to the end of my life, or whenever it comes to my journey, whatever season I'm in, that I can really learn and strive to be content. And that purely comes, you know, as it says, from the fact that God is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. You know, he has a plan for each and every one of us. And as we try and practice out our faith of rejoicing in all circumstances, of really praying, abiding in God, and being thankful, whatever we're going through, I'm sure that that secret, you know, the Holy Spirit and God's going to reveal to us, and I'm sure you're going to just see many fruits in your life as you walk in a state of contentment, as Paul did. So, while I think Eunice is coming up to give us a time of worship, why don't we just reflect on that? Reflect on this season, this year. As I say, I don't know what many of us are going through, but if there's an area where you recognize that God's touch and he's blessed, for whatever reason right now you're not content with, just dialogue with God. You know, say, God, what's going on? You know, have I lost the joy of you? The joy of the Lord is my strength, Nehemiah says, or am I not abiding you regularly enough? Or is there a thankful or an unthankfulness in my heart that I need to repent of or to reflect on? And just ask the Lord to speak to you. And as I say, wouldn't it be awesome if every one of us had that secret of being content in every circumstance? Now, how amazing would your walk with God be, just to walk through life without grumbling and just saying, God, you know, I'm just happy because you are there. My circumstances can't affect that happiness and that peace. So let's just reflect on that while Eunice leads us in a song of worship.
Jesus, to fulfill. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory.
Yeah, before we just go into corporate prayer, why don't we spend the final moment as we sang, let's just really interact with Jesus. You know, words are so profound. As we look to him, now everything else in the world, everything that we're going through, or whatever difficult circumstance, whatever even good circumstances fade away. You know, as the word says, keep your lives free from love of money, be content with what you have. And the reason why is because God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Let's just reflect on that before we leave in time of corporate prayer. Let's enter a time of corporate prayer. Let's, as we said, you know, as I try to share, let's not be content with circumstances that our friends are going through. You know, those who are going through cancer, those who are not saved yet, those who are sick and in long-term illnesses. Let's really contend and ask God to come in and reach in. But in and amongst all the answered prayers, let's pray that His peace and his grace and his just spirit of contentment rests, you know, they're able to be content knowing that God is there with them. Let's just cover these friends of ours with that in mind as well. Let's pray for them right now. Let's turn to the next slide and pray for those who are not only sick but need a word of salvation as well. And let's just pray for those who are going through infirmities right now. Let's just cover them as well. Let's also contend and pray for those who are looking for jobs, that even in the midst of their search, that there's God's peace and contentment to know that they're in God's hands, that His words that says never He'll leave us or forsake us is true and good. Let's just pray that over our friends here today as well. Let's just turn to our mission focus for today. Let's really lift up to the nation of China to God. Let's pray for SP Beijing and Pastor Sam and Annie there and Chris and Amy and Mary and the other leaders. I heard recently that their congregations are approaching 70, 80 members. And for those of you who've been able to visit that place, you know, that sanctuary is just packed right now. It's really standing room only. So let's just really pray for God's hand to move in even deeper ways this season, especially as they prepare for this next year and as they strategize as to how to move and to grow, that God really speaks truth and life into them and really guides them in their steps. And let's pray for the Chong family who are on their sabbatical right now, that they have a really real good time of rest, that God speaks to them in their year out and they're able to really just hear for their next steps in life. For Matt and Nate's parents who are serving in China as well, that God covers them with grace, and Ambassador the Rasa Rabba family, for Leanne who's also in Beijing, for Edie Clark and the ministry she's involved in, for Chichia and the orphanages there and the kids that are growing up, and for the churches, and also for Sichuan restoration, that God really does His work in that area for the relief workers, for the people that have lost family and friends and homes, that God's peace rests. So really let's concede and intercede for the nation of China right now. Let's just also pray for our staff. Actually, this week, this next 10 days, a lot of people are away. PSAM is in Israel right now with the team. They got there safe and they're traveling. Pastor Eugene and Pastor Carol are taking the annual leave in California. Let's pray for a restful time for them. And Pastor Sophia is taking a time of break in Australia with her parents, just to really encourage them and to spend time with family. Let's cover P. Nate, who's going to be giving the Sunday word this week. Let's just pray that God really speaks and gives it a lot of strength, especially as he's the remaining pastoral staff on the ground here in Hong Kong. Let's also bless and cover Ken and Monica and Bonnie, Sarah and Janella, who you may have not heard has joined staff as well. That, you know, this is staff that, you know, they're united in their love and reverence for God, and you know, they're just common in vision and calling and purpose. And let's just, yeah, just cover and bless every part of their lives, their health, their finances, their relationships. Now, as they serve us as a congregation, let's just do the honorable thing and just really cover them in prayer and really just be a church that really prays for our staff. So let's just really pray for them right now, especially those who are traveling as well. Pray for the worship team and AV. Let's just pray for the worship leaders that we have. We have Pastor Nate, we have Hyunsu and John, and we have Kenny, who leads the AV ministry. Let's just pray that, you know, the words are up there, that they have a heart of worship. Now, it's not about just performing music. It's not about you know, just how good the sound is and how good the PowerPoint or you know, the other aspects, that the logistical aspects are. Let's just pray that the heart of worship, a heart of serving, is something that seeps through. So each and every one of the worship members, each and every one of the worship leaders, they're able to truly worship with for an audience of one, and that's what reflects in their hearts and their minds. So let's just cover the worship team and the AV as well. And let's also just cover the house churches tonight. Let's pray for Bonham and Kennedy and Kowloon and Elkef and OPR. Let's pray for the leaders, for the meetings there, for the hosts. Let's just really pray as they wrestle with, you know, another session on humility, that God comes and speaks in those house churches, that, you know, for those who are new, they come into a place where they're loved and they feel accepted. For those who are existing members and been there for a long time, it's just a good time of fellowship and ministry. But let's just really pray for the fullness of God's presence in all of those places tonight. You know, without God, it's just not going to happen. So let's just really pray that God manifests each and every one of those house churches tonight, that it's not out of our own actions and our own deeds and our own strength that house church is run and house church is led. But let's just pray that it's through the strength of God, it's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that these house churches are conducted tonight, and that God will go and touch each and every one of the persons who are able to make it to those groups this evening. Let's just really cover them right now. And let's also, I just feel, let's pray for the team that are in Israel right now. They're there for 10 days. Let's pray for Pastor Sam as he leads that. And for all the other members who are joining, I think you've got Thaddeus and Yiling. You've got John Wong and Vivian. You have Matt Chong, who's gone. You have Sean, Tracy, Sophia, and Vivian Lam. That's right. So that's the 9 members. So let's just pray that they have a good time. I saw their schedule. It's logistically very intense. So let's just pray for all the movements from different parts of Egypt to Jordan to Israel. And let's just pray for safety. You know, we still know things are going on in that region, that as they move from place to place, that they've got a real covering from God's angels. They're all able to come back safely in 10 days' time. So let's just cover that trip right now, especially Pastor Sam, who's leading it. Lord, we just thank you for today. I just thank you for this start of the week, for allowing us to come and just to spend this first 45 minutes, 1 hour in your presence. I thank you, Lord God, that you know, your word just really encourages us to be content no matter what we're going through, to learn that secret that Paul learned, Lord God. So I just pray over my brothers and sisters here in this room that whatever they're going through right now, whatever season they're in, whether good or bad, that you know, you give them the tools and the unction to strive to be content, to learn that secret, you know, to follow those things that you shared with us about rejoicing in you, to abide in you, and to be thankful, Lord God, and to really just walk in those three areas of their lives. And as we do that, Lord Father, I know contentment's going to seep in, and we're going to see so many amazing fruits in you, Lord God. So I just pray that over my brothers and sisters here in this place and over our church, that we are indeed a church that is just so content with just who you are, and so content in you that everything else pales in comparison. So Lord, cover the guys here today. I pray that they have a blessed day at work. Oh Father, that they're able to just continue to draw from you and to know that they know that they know that you'll never leave them, never forsake them, to rejoice as you are near no matter what they're going through. So Lord, just bless them, and I pray that you will continue to show them grace and mercy until next time we meet. We thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name we pray.